Let's pray and open our hearts to God's word. Father, I just pray tonight that you just have your way in us tonight, Father. And I pray that you'd help me, Lord. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would take this word and do a work in us. Oh, Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, and knowing exactly how to apply this word to our lives. That each and every person be changed in some way to your glory and honor. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you want the blessing of God on your life? Some of you don't want that. Well, we'll just have to pray for you. But to be blessed, it means to be happy inside and out. It means to be doing well. It is the opposite of cursed. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us who is blessed. And he lays out for us that if we want to be blessed, these are the attitudes. These are the traits. This is who we need to be. Beginning in verse 3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are those who know that they are spiritually bankrupt apart from the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. You see, when we know we're spiritually bankrupt and we realize our sinful condition so that we can be saved by the blood of Jesus, then we mourn our sin. And he comforts us. He forgives us. He frees us. What a blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. We need to know what meek means, and we need to know what it's not, by the way. You know, for most people, a meek person is, well, someone who is shy and quiet and maybe easily intimidated. In our rough and tough world, we tend to think of meekness as pretty close to weakness. Maybe we think of those who are powerless to defend themselves. When's the last time you heard someone say, "If you want to succeed in life, you need to be meek"? Or, "If you want to rise to the top, if you want to get somewhere in life, you're going to have to demonstrate meekness in your life." Well, you just don't ever hear that, do you? An atheist philosopher said, "Assert yourself, care for nothing except for yourself. The only vice is weakness, and the only virtue is strength. Be strong, be a superman. The world is yours if you can get it." And you know what? That is kind of the attitude of a lot of the generation that we live in today. Meekness just isn't a valued quality. But the principles of the kingdom are so opposite from the principles of the world. Jesus said, Jesus speaks truth. He never lies. There's no deception. There's no shadow of turning. There's nothing but truth comes out of his mouth. What he says, you could say it's fact, but it's beyond fact. It's eternal truth. And he says, "Blessed are the meek." The world would never say that. They say, "Oh no, it's good to be forceful and just to push and press until you get your way." Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." but they shall inherit the earth. It's not the mighty, the forceful, the intimidator, but the meek. The word translated meek here is found in several other places in the New Testament, and in modern translations, it's almost always translated as gentle. And I personally, I don't think that even gentle gives really a complete meaning of this word. It's just the closest commonly used word that we have. But, you know, we just seldom ever use the word meek today. I mean, once in a while, we refer to somebody or some trait in someone, we might say that they're meek. But we need to get a deeper understanding of what Jesus was talking about. The word literally means a gentleness or mildness of disposition. It is the opposite of being arrogant, forceful, or harsh. Now, I think you can learn a lot here with this if you understand the opposite. It's the opposite of forceful, arrogant, and harsh. Meek does not mean pushover. Neither does it mean someone who is pushy. It doesn't mean a wimp or a coward. No, meekness is never a bully, even though it possesses strength. A meek person is one who sees himself as God does and can feel comfortable being kind to others. Weak people are fearful, and so often fear is their motivator. Meek people are not weak. Listen, for a meek person, it is by their choice that they choose to treat others with gentleness and kindness. Meekness is a lowliness of mind. It is an attitude of humility that causes us to treat others with respect and care. The Greek word that is translated here as meek is a word that they would use for a horse that had been well trained, that was under control. I mean, if they were talking at this time in the Greek language, if they were talking about a 1,200-pound horse that had been well trained and was so gentle that you could put a child on that horse and it would be safe. You see, this is the word that they would use in referring to that horse, that it was, well, our English word, meek. And so you need to understand that meekness in no way is about being weak. Meekness in no way is about being timid. No, meekness is about gentleness. It is about being under control. In fact, some have defined it this way, that it's strength under control. And I want you to understand, you certainly see that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength under control all the time. When you're meek, you live under the control of another. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the most powerful man that ever lived. I mean, you know, the world makes a big deal out of strong men, powerful men. Pump them full of steroids, and people go, wow. They're not even in his league. He's the most powerful man that ever walked this earth. He could speak to the wind and the waves. and they'd obey him. Real power. And yet, Jesus was the meekest man. He was totally under control. Three of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament were men who were meek, and they're good examples for us tonight as we desire and seek to understand how we can have this blessing on our life. We see we need to understand more of what this word means. And let's start with the man Joseph. Most of us know the story of how that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. He was then later falsely accused and put into prison. And after some time, he interpreted dreams for Pharaoh, and he became the most powerful man in Egypt. Power. In fact, if you wanted food during the famine that took place, Joseph held absolute power over you. He could charge you whatever he wanted, and he could decide whether or not you got food. That's power. Tremendous power that he had. Now later, when his brothers show up in Egypt and they need food, it's been 20 years, and Joseph has complete power over these guys who sold him into slavery and brought so much heartache and trouble into his life. He had the power over them to do with them whatever he pleased. If he wanted them put to death, it would have been done. But he didn't use that power that way. Instead, he wept openly to see his brothers. Fast forward just a little bit, and you come to the man Moses. At 80 years of age, the Bible tells us that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Some of the modern translations say humble, but the King James says meekest. He was the meekest man in all the earth. This is God's great leader, the deliverer, the man who led a million, 2 million people through the wilderness, the man who brought them out of Egypt. This is a great man of God. But at 40 years old, Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's house. He had the education of Egypt. He had the wealth of Egypt. He had all of the honor, the glory of Egypt. He had every reason to be proud. He had every reason to think himself strong and to use his ability, his power, his strength. And so when he sees one of his Hebrew brothers being abused by an Egyptian, what does he do? He kills the man. He beats him to death. This is power not under control. This is a man who is not meek. At 40 years old, he had all the power and wealth of Egypt behind him, and he was arrogant, and his power was not under control. And I want you to know something. God can't use a man like that. The world may admire it, but God can't use a man like that. I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he thought he was going to deliver God's people by killing the Egyptians one at a time. But he left Egypt. He went to the desert for 40 years and was a shepherd for 40 years. And during that 40 years, God changed him. And when the Lord speaks to him from a burning bush, he doesn't say, "Yeah, I'm your man, God. I'm the guy that can get it done." See, that's the world's way. Sell yourself. Toot your horn. But instead, he says, "Who am I? I can't. In fact, he carried on with saying, I can't, until it finally angered the Lord. But he was a different man, and he was a man that God could use. And so the Lord sends him to Egypt to bring his people out of Egypt. But he doesn't send him empty-handed. He sends him with this great power. God uses him to bring these miracles to pass. And Moses throws down his staff and it turns into a serpent. So many miracles that happened through the hand of Moses and that staff. But listen, it was all under control. He didn't use his staff to beat a man to death with anymore. No, instead, it was under the control of the Lord that Moses did and acted. And what does the Bible call this man with such great power, this great man of God, the meekest man in all the earth? So if the meekest man in all the earth was Moses, I can assure you that meekness is not weakness, but it is rather power that's under control. It is a gentleness. By the way, there were times when people rose up against Moses. There were times when they even wanted to stone him. But you never see Moses get mad and want to get those people. He was under control. He did lose it one last time. The Lord told him to speak to the rock and that water would flow out. And in his frustration, Moses lost it once more. And he hit the rock with his staff. And because of that, the Bible tells us that he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Now, I want to tell you something. Moses is still a great leader. He's still a great man of God. He was one of the two that appeared to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Moses and Elijah. So he's still a great man of God in heaven, but he lost it one more time. Listen to me. And it cost him. How about David? We'll fast forward to David. David, the mighty warrior. We always talk about David killing Goliath and what a great feat that was, but his history was, he said, I've killed the lion and the bear. This Philistine will be like one of those. I don't know about you, but I'm more impressed that he killed the lion and the bear than he killed the giant. We're talking about a bad dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this guy was something else. They sang about David, he's killed his tens of thousands. Thousands he had killed. Thousands. God just used him as a mighty warrior. He was this great leader. Men would just line up to follow David into battle, even before he was king. How could this guy be meek? But he was. Later, when he was king and his son Absalom was trying to take the throne from him, David could have gathered his army together and just squashed the rebellion, but he didn't. Instead, he's leaving. And while he's leaving, there is a man who is yelling out curses, ridiculing David. Let me just read to you. One of David's fighting men says to David, let me take his head off. And this is David's response. It's 2 Samuel 16:11 through 13. David says, let him alone, let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road with Shimei, went along on the hillside opposite him and cursed him as he went. He threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Here David had the power to do something about it. In fact, David probably could have killed the man from where he stood with the same stone and a sling. It would have been nothing to this mighty warrior. But one of his fighting men was offering, "Let me go take care of him." And David says, "No." You see, this is, again, strength, power that's under control. In fact, there's a real important principle that's found here, because David talks about how that the Lord will take care of this. Maybe the Lord's going to bless me because of this. I want to tell you something. When you understand that God really is in control, it's not hard to be meek. Jesus, always our example. Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle," the King James says, "meek, and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Meek and lowly in heart. Learn from me. This is how Jesus described himself. Far as I know, it is the only time where Jesus describes himself with certain attributes. I mean, he tells us a lot about himself at different places in the scripture, that he's the Son of God, and tells us a lot about why he's here and what he's going to do and all kinds of things. But the only time that he describes himself with character traits, and he says, "I am meek and lowly." What leader describes themselves as meek and lowly? Jesus. As he understood something that the world doesn't understand. God really is in control. Meek and lowly. Here's prophecy from Isaiah that is quoted in the book of Matthew. Matthew 12:18-20. He says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench." You see, this is the meekness, the gentleness of Jesus. He won't even break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. He won't be standing out in the street yelling, trying to rally his troops or get his... No. He was meek and lowly. There were times when he acted as bold as a lion, like when he cleared the temple. And I want to talk about that for just a minute, because I want you to understand that meekness doesn't mean that we are always passive, or that, especially when there's injustice, that we are always passive. Jesus certainly wasn't passive when he cleared the temple. But understand this. This was not an outburst of anger like some people try to depict it. You know why people do that? Because they want to justify when they lose it. See, Jesus didn't lose it like Moses did. In fact, if you read the scripture, Jesus sat down and made a whip. And when he gets up with the whip, he drives them all out. By the way, this was these people's business, corrupt business. But the money changers who were there, this is how they made a living. It's amazing to me when people try to act like Jesus was some kind of wimp. Because he just drove all these, he shut down their business that day, flipped all their tables over. But it wasn't an outburst of anger. He didn't lose his temper. No, he was under control, because in that situation, he was doing exactly what the Father wanted him to do. This was his Father's house. It was to be a house of prayer, and they had turned it into a den of thieves and robbers. And Jesus, under the control of the Holy Spirit, drove them out. The meekest, the meek and lowly, Jesus. Many times the Lord wants us to be people of action, but we got to be under control. When the soldiers came to the garden to take Jesus away, he told Peter, Matthew 26:53, "Do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" See, he had the power, he had the authority, but he subjected himself to the will of the Father. When they struck him in the face with their fist, when they whipped him, when they mocked him and put a crown of thorns on his head, he had all the power to stop it, but he didn't. He was meek. Shouldn't we be? We got to learn from him. Like that strong horse, we got to learn to be gentle even when we have the strength. By the way, when we talk about strength, and we talk about not, you know, keeping that strength under control, we're not just talking about physical strength. There's lots of ways that you can have the strength, the power over other people. You might be the boss. You might be the one that's in charge. You might be the one with the most money. You might be the one with the greater IQ, the better education. There's a lot of ways that you can have power, and you can use that over other people. And you have to instead be under the control of the Holy Spirit. There's something really beautiful about strength under control. And there's something really repulsive about a person that has power and is not under control. Like the man who abuses his wife and children. That's repulsive. See, we all understand that. But I tell you, there's a lot of ways in our society that people use power and mistreat other people and push their way and intimidate. And I want to tell you, it's just as repulsive in the eyes of God. And how we need this trait in our world today. Having power, but choosing not to use it. Being smarter, but not allowing it to show. Being right, but you don't have to prove it. And when you don't have to, but you take the position of a servant. I have a really good example, one that I've used before, but it just fits well. My wife is a great example. She's a music major. We have quite a few of those in our church now. But she can play several instruments. She's directed adult choirs and youth choirs and children's choirs and full-blown musicals for adults and for youth and for children. And she taught music in public school for 7 years. And everything she's done has just been very, very successful. But if you work with her on music, she will never act like she knows more than you. She will not tout her knowledge. She will not make you feel dumb. She will not rub it in your face, even when you're wrong. I remember we were trying to work with some young guys in our youth group one time and starting a youth worship team. And one of the, you know, some of these guys, they'd never played before. They just started playing. And one of them, we gave them the chords and to learn the songs. And one of them came back and he says, "But these are the wrong chords." And we said, "No, these are the right chords." He said, "No, the chords are different for guitar." And we were just, anyway. But she's not going to rub it in his face and make fun or give him a hard time. I'll do that. But you know what? I'm going to flip over here. You know what? I think Josh Weathers is a meek guy. Because here's a guy that has so much ability. I mean, he can go anywhere and do anything musically. But he also, he's so easy to work with. He doesn't act like, "Hey, you bumpkins don't know anything. Let me tell y'all how." He's not like that. And I'm just telling you, see, it's not just about physical strength. There's lots of areas of our life that we need to be meek. I had a moment of meekness. I'm working on it. I'm learning. But, you know, we had this situation a few weeks back where, the city had kind of been possibly going to purchase some land for us, and they lowballed us like super low. And at the same time, the county raised our property tax on that portion of land 155%. And I was pretty wound up over it, you know. But I've been praying about it, and I was kind of loaded for bear. I mean, I had all my facts together and everything, and you know, and I was ready to show my strength. But I went to this meeting and the review board, and you know, I had a moment of meekness, as I said, and I just you know, started talking and explained a little bit, and I was kind of quiet, and I, you know, at one point I said, "Is it okay for me to say something?" And they were like, "Well, yeah, anything you want to say." And I had all this stuff I was going to put out there, you know, and I had just gotten started, and they said, "Well, we need to do something to help this man out." And I just got to tell you, they were very, very kind to me. Very nice to me, very polite to me. And they lowered our taxes on that property $20,000 below what I asked them to. Below what I asked them to, which was, by the way, over $100,000+ anyway. And they went $20,000 below what I said it was worth. That's God. My moment of meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. You know, if you inherit a business or an estate, what does that mean? It means that it's yours to do as you please with it. It means that you possess it and you have dominion over it. Now, I want you to understand, that doesn't mean that you yourself are going to rule the world, but we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we are going to reign and rule with Jesus. And let me tell you who he's going to have reign and rule. It's going to be the meek. Listen to me. There will be, in the kingdom, there will be no harsh, arrogant, pushy leaders. There's going to be rulers who are gentle and under control. They're going to reign and rule. I don't think that's all in the sweet by and by the way. God raises up leaders that can be trusted in the here and now. And that's not to say that there are not leaders in the church world who are arrogant and forceful and run roughshod over people. But I'm telling you that in the kingdom, he raises up leaders who are meek. The meek will inherit the earth. Jesus says that a leader must be the servant of all. We're blessed when we're meek. It means that blessing of inheriting the earth, it means that we're going to have power and authority. We need to be gentle with people. And I just want to remind you, the only time Jesus was forceful was with the religious and self-righteous. He was meek and gentle with everybody else. The meek will inherit the earth. They're going to take over. Not by force, not by craftiness, not by the wisdom of man, but by the blessing of the Lord. If we want to be meek, we learn from Jesus. See, this is not just a personality thing. If that were true, then some people get blessed automatically and some would get not blessed automatically. It's not a personality thing. We can learn to be meek. Learn from me, Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If we want to be meek, we submit to the control of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:23 tells us that meekness, in the King James it says meekness, in the NIV it says gentleness, but that meekness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, then we can be meek. You can't do it on your own, but the Holy Spirit can help you to do it. That meekness gives us the ability to deal with the most difficult people, and the most difficult situations, the right way. I myself have a difficult time being meek when I encounter pushy people. I just want to push back. And I have a real hard time with when I see somebody who has the strength and the upper hand being mean to somebody weaker. I just want to, you know, I want to do like Moses did when he was 40. You know what I'm saying? But you see, that's not the right way. We have to be under control and let God do it his way. And he may call us to action. He may use us in a situation like that. But we do so under the control of the Holy Spirit, not just our old flesh acting out. No, we have to stay meek. Psalm 37, 7 through 11 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." I have found myself reading this passage and using this passage in many messages lately. It just is so relevant to the time that we live in, where there's so much frustration and anger. And he says, it only causes harm. Listen, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. You see, we can be meek because we know that God is in control. You wait on the Lord. You let God move. You let God work. You trust that you don't have to, in your flesh, fix everything, that God will make a way. I tell you, there's a connection there that when we don't try to do it our way, many times we just wait on the Lord. He'll take care of it. We can just be meek. Verse 10 and 11, he says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth." There it is. "And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Meek people have no reason to fret, to worry, because they know that God is in control. They shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They have peace. You see, the meek will inherit the earth. You know what that means? That means that we win in the end. I mean, in whatever situation you're dealing with, you're facing, what if you knew that you win in the end? With absolute certainty, you knew that you win in the end. One way or another, when it's all said and done, the meek inherit the earth. You see, if you know you win in the end, it's not hard to be gentle, to be kind, to be meek. Jesus was meek and lowly, mild and gentle. Matthew 21:5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly. King James says meek, and sitting on a donkey, a coat, a foal of a donkey. He's the King of Kings. He will rule and reign forever. And he's meek. And the meek are going to reign with him. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Well, stand with me and let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word, that it is truth. And Lord, we just pray that you help us, Father, to walk this out, to live it out in our life. Show us, Lord, there's areas where we have been arrogant, where we have been pushy. Lord, where we've allowed our anger to get the best of us. And Lord, help us to overcome and to truly follow after the Lord Jesus in this and be meek people. Lord, to stay under the control of the Holy Spirit and be gentle and kind to those who are weak. Lord, and to be a blessing, Lord, to all. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Lord, bless you.